Coming up is our weekly call with Paul Omani, my friend from across the pond in Cork, Ireland. We had a fantastic conversation today. We normally do it over coffee, but we don't need our coffee to get our banter on. And we covered a number of varied topics, starting off with a conversation that you may find extraordinarily interesting, Paul's experience with Apple. And he was speaking to an Apple technician, actually a couple of them, from Lisbon, Portugal, and you will find their perspective and how helpful Apple is to my friend Paul. And then we get into some other topics. I think you'll find it interesting. It's about 35 minutes long, and you can pick it up whenever you find it convenient. I'm going to be putting this in the episode section, so you want to listen to it over the weekend. Fantastic. But I look forward to a weekly call with Paul. Our next one will probably be this coming Wednesday, and we'll push it out either on Wednesday or Thursday, depending. You'll keep an eye out for it. But Paul, thanks so much. Always appreciate your perspective, your time, and having your friendship. It's a great thing. And wouldn't have known you unless it was for Anchor. Appreciate the app so much.
Avi?
Good morning, my good friend, Paul Omani. How are you this morning?
Well, I'm at shortly after 2 o'clock in Cork. And Avi, I'm having a very interesting time with Apple.
You are? Tell me about that.
Well, if I just tell you the overall picture is that I was on the phone with Apple for 1 hour and 40 minutes. Then I went and bought a hard disk. I'll come back to why, an external hard disk. And I have just been 35 minutes more with Apple, and I haven't finished yet.
Well, sounds like you're in a dilemma. Are you having an issue with your Mac?
Well, it all began with me deciding that what I would like to do would be to get a new battery for my iPhone 6. And I thought that I might be able to go to Belfast by train, which is probably about a total of, let us say, 3 hours, or even longer, 3.5 hours, and that I might be able to make an appointment with Apple, go in there and get this new battery that they are saying that they will give to people with an iPhone 6 at a very good price.
Indeed.
And then what happened is that I had to speak to an Apple person to find out if this would actually, if this plan was even viable, because they told me in Cork that, yes, they would have no problem replacing the battery, but they would keep the phone for between 10 and 14 working days.
Wow, that's not normal.
Yes, they said that it was a mixture of shortage and the huge number of batteries that they were having to replace.
I see.
It seemed shocking to me, and I thought, well, there's absolutely no way, except it's a serious crisis, that I'm going to give up my phone for that length of time. But I ring Apple and I ask, could you please tell me if Belfast is viable? And then the man started, he said, well, first of all, let me ask you some questions. And I won't go into all the details, but let me just tell you this one. He said to me, what operating system do you have on your iPhone? And I told him I have 10.3.3. And he said, ah, that's the problem. If you had 11, there would be no problem. So I said, well, I have been told by some people that if I put 11 on, that it might slow down the operation of my phone. And he said, oh, no, that would never happen. And he said, he then said, have you backed up your phone? And I said, yes. There might be a few things not backed up, but I'm a little bit nervous about whether my voice memos have been backed up. So he said, let's see. And I have a 64 gig iPhone 6, and 11.1 gigs of it is Voice Recorder Pro. And I said, well, I'm not 100% sure that they've all been backed up. They probably have, but because I'm not sure, I was very reluctant to wipe them off. So he then said, oh, no problem at all. We'll just connect your, we'll just save everything. We'll sync your phone to your Mac. And I said, oh, I have a small problem. This morning, when I turned on my laptop for the very first time, I got a message that said that my iPhone said on the screen, just a message that said there's something wrong and said to press a button. And I pressed a button and I got some coding on the screen. Now, the first letter, the first word on the top left-hand side, message of the coding was the word panic. So this wasn't exactly the most reassuring word to appear on my screen. So, but it then he, well, one man took me through stuff on my iPhone, and he passed me over then to somebody who was taking me through stuff on my Mac. And I have one thing to say, Avi, about Apple. They have been technically brilliant. Now, I expected them to be, or they have been brilliant. I expected them to be technically brilliant, in other words, to know their own software and know their own hardware. But what I didn't expect was them to be so good at handling me. They spoke to me in a way that I never felt as if I was stupid or as if any question I was asking was there was an obvious answer and that I should have known. I really felt, even though it was a long time, I felt that these guys are looking after me amazingly well. And even though we didn't solve the problem, and well, he didn't solve the problem, and I had to go and buy another external hard drive. That's why I went out for 40 minutes. And incidentally, I got 4 terabyte hard disk hard drive for 130 euros, which I thought was a good price.
Good price for you guys, sure.
And so anyway, I came back and the man, I said to the man, I've got a call scheduled at 2 o'clock. And he said, and I said to him, this was before lunch, I said to him, look, shouldn't I really reschedule this phone call or at least postpone it? And he said, well, actually, no. When you come back with the hard drive, it will just take a few minutes to do something useful and then we can break off. So he thought it would be about 10 minutes on the telephone. And then the last thing that happened and has just happened is that I put the new hard drive, which is from a company called Seagate,
Yep,
put the
very.
new hard drive in, and he seems to be having difficulty formatting it.
Yeah, you likely bought a Windows-based external formatted drive, and it needs to be formatted for the Mac now.
You see, that's a good question because to be, or that's a good remark. That is exactly what he said. Now, I'm looking at the box, and the box does not tell me. It simply says backup plus, and it gives me, hold on once. Yes, it says use it between Windows and Mac. Anyway, in a long shot, all I really want to say is, first of all, I regret that we had this short interval between you ringing and me being able to answer, but I just have to commend Apple for everything, and it has made me feel, Avi, as if there is no way I would switch away from Apple unless I was absolutely assured that the service support I would get from, let's say, Samsung or any other phone people would be considerably superior to Apple.
Right, of course. Well, you're looking at an entire environment here. You're looking at both the phone and the computer, wherein if you were with Samsung, you'd likely, I don't know if you'd keep your Mac or not, but you're better off when you are in an Apple environment to stay purely Apple. They just work more seamlessly together, and then they have the support mechanism for both the computer and the phone.
Well, the thought that I could solve both the phone and the computer with one human being, and indeed the second person I spoke to was able to reassure me that he would be able to deal with everything and that he was trained on both, that filled me with great satisfaction.
Yeah, I would think that would be a good combination for sure. That's why I make my living with Windows systems, because the Mac system is pretty much sealed up by Apple. You don't really make a whole lot of living being a third-party support mechanism for Mac or iPhone, because you get your help almost free from Apple, and there's no dealing with that other than, you know, going over and above what they offer for through their free services. That's when we get involved with that. But it's interesting to know that. And you make a very good point. People don't necessarily care as much about always solving their problem efficiently, but they always want to be treated properly. They always want to be handheld, and they don't want to ever be talked down to or felt intimidated in any way when you're helping them, because that's the last thing you ever want to do. It creates a barrier of communication, number one, and it prevents a smooth and seamless resolution for sure. So, yeah, I've learned that over the years. It's very, very important. And many, many people that are in the support mechanism get impatient with their support side, and they take it out on the customer, which is the last thing you ever want to do. It's not easy.
Well, I never detected, Avi, the slightest sense of, you know, will you please hurry up from the two Apple people. I feel that I'm in the presence of people who are absolutely prepared to stay with me, even if it takes the whole of their shift throughout this difficulty.
Oh, yeah, that's what they do. And they're paid to do that. They're not paid based on how many different customers or clients they can help. They get paid by the hour, or they may be a salaried employee, but they don't have to worry about whether they're pushing numbers through their phone. And that's a good thing. When you are reliant on a particular task and you have to move people through churn people through because you're busy, that is reflected in the level of service. So it's a good thing.
Well, Avi, you know that while we've known each other on Anchor, that I have listened, not just, I've listened to you talking with almost innumerable other people. And I have always been impressed by the way in which you speak to people, and never once in the hundreds of interactions I've listened to you having with other people, never once have I felt that you were speaking down to another person.
Well, I appreciate that, Paul. I have been accused of that, though, over the phone, believe me.
Well,
but, you know, everybody has their moments. But I do my best to make sure that I monitor what's going on and make my corrections as I'm on course.
The other amusing thing, or the other satisfying thing I experienced this morning, Avi, was that, you know how you sometimes, well, quite often, I think, have to wait while an operation takes place on your laptop or your iPhone. There has to be a period during which both parties are waiting for the operation to be completed.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Well, and often that is a period of time during which, you know, it's difficult to know what to do. Now, I asked the chap who I was talking to, you know, how long it would take. And he said, well, he first of all said, well, why do you want to know? And that was very helpful, because I said, well, actually, I want to make a cup of tea. And he said, no problem. This will take a little enough time. And that was a good thing. I was able to make a cup of tea and he was going to continue to be there. But then I said to him, I said, by the way, are you in Cork? Now, the reason I don't know if you know this, and I certainly doubt that everybody who listened to this will know this, but there are 6,000 employees of Apple in Cork.
Wow.
And it's a city of only, depending upon what you measure, 130,000 people. So it's a huge number of people. And no, he said he was in, well, it turned out he was in Lisbon. And I have been to Lisbon a couple of times, and we had a very interesting conversation about Lisbon. And then he said to me, because I was I mentioned the best restaurant I'd been to in Lisbon, and he knew it.
Wow.
And but the other thing was that he said to me, well, tell me, what are you interested in when you go on a holiday? And I said, well, I'm interested in food. I'm interested in scenery. I'm interested in history. I'm not much interested in beaches. And he then recommended a particular place in Portugal, which I hadn't heard of, where I might consider going to next time.
And how about that? That's pretty cool.
Delighted.
Yeah. You're getting a double bang for the buck here today. That's great. Yeah. You're getting the world tour.
Well, I'll tell you what, and the outcome of it all, and this is very interesting, because I think Apple are under quite a deal of pressure now, more pressure than I can remember them being under, in terms of people saying, well, look, other companies are making stuff which has got even better technical specifications, and Apple aren't to be trusted as much as before. And people are saying things like, you know, Apple insists that you stay within their ecosystem. And all of these things are slowly, slowly, I think, wearing away at brand, emotional brand loyalty. And I have just had a antidote to all of that thinking as a result of my interactions with Apple this morning.
Well, that's terrific. Well, they're going to want to use this as a promotion for them, I'll tell you that.
Well, I tell you what, Avi, you won't have time to listen to this, but I made 3 segments on Anchor on my way from the house here to the place where I bought the hard drives. And I intend to send those 3 pieces of audio, and also this piece, to the person who has been dealing with me, and also suggesting to him that he might like to offer it to his supervisor.
Yeah, no question. I'm sure they'll have a survey, a customer satisfaction survey, and you'll be able to send them embedded links to those particular segments. That would be great.
Oh, that's a good idea. I hadn't thought of that. That's the best way to do it.
And you might get some Anchor users out of that too. Wouldn't that be great?
Well, I mainly would like to make some people in Anchor aware. Yes, I might. Yes, it might result in some people from Anchor some people from Apple deciding they might see some benefit in using Anchor.
Right. Why not? Why not? Sure. And look, no. Anchor was one of the featured apps last year on the App Store. So wouldn't be a bad idea. Wouldn't be a bad idea.
Avi, how are you, by the way?
I have a bit of a cold today, my friend. I don't know if you hear it in my voice, but I do have a cold. And it's going to probably hamper my dancing activities this weekend, which is never a good thing, because I don't want to get my dancing partner ill from my disease that I'm carrying around with me. and that wouldn't be a good thing. So that's what's going on with me today.
Oh, yeah. That because I know how much. Do you dance on Friday and Saturday evenings? Or
yes, absolutely. Both?
Absolutely. You do Sunday as well?
If I can, Paul, sometimes I can, and I do. As much dancing as I can get in. Sometimes I dance on Wednesday nights, too. So, you know, for me, it's a not only a form of recreation, but it's a great form of exercise. I tend to lose, Paul, between 1 and 2 pounds every time I dance in water weight, just because I'm actually really, really aggressive on the dance floor. The type of dancing we do is very athletic, to the extent that it involves, you know, hours of the type of dance we do. I don't know if you're familiar with the New York Hustle, but it's a dance that was founded back in the mid to late 70s. And it's been popular with a group of us here in the Philadelphia area for all these years, over 40 years. And there's still a group of us that are in our 60s and 70s that are digging the dance. And we enjoy it so much that it's become a part of our lives. Yeah.
Well, ever since you mentioned to me, and you did mention to me this to me on Anchor once, that you do the New York Hustle, I have been meaning to go to YouTube to see it. And yeah. I'm delighted you've reminded me of that, because one of my favorites, and maybe my favorite TV show of all, and I watch very little television, but my favorite of all is what started in the UK, I think, as Strictly Come Ballroom.
Yes.
And that, oh, I just love that. And that is, I believe there's a version of that in the United States.
Oh, yeah. It's called Dancing with the Stars.
Right. Now, I mean, I think because of my cultural embeddedness in the UK, in a way, I've seen Dancing with the Stars, but nothing would really replace the UK version. Part of it is that all of the associations that would be connected with the language they use and the body language, all of that I'd be so familiar with that I'd be tickled a lot more and a lot less distracted by accent and stuff like that. But I just love that program.
No, it's funny. One of my friends is actually in the UK version of the Strictly Ballroom. His name is Brian Fortuna. And Brian was one of the stars that trained the other dancers how to dance. So pretty neat. And he's from this area. And I know his parents and their ballroom instructors here in the Delaware Valley area. So it's pretty interesting that, you know, while we are across the pond, we still have some U.S. ties to you guys there.
Is Brian Fortuna one of the professional dancers on the show?
Well, he was. I don't know if he still is. I haven't stayed in touch. But early on, yes, he was. He actually started here with Dancing with the Stars in California. And then the next year or so, he moved to England to get them started over there. Yes.
Now, Avi, there's one request, and you don't have to commit yourself on air to how you whether you will do this or not. But I'm sure you use some thing like, I don't know, Instagram or some way. So what I'm thinking about is, would you ever consider, and you don't have to answer this now, would you ever consider a short video of yourself dancing? That would be a gem.
Oh, perhaps, yeah. I just need to get somebody to do a good job. A lot of times the lighting in the places we're in is very low, and it's difficult to get a good visual. But yes, I would certainly consider it. And I have a new dance partner who's absolutely tremendous, and she is making me look even better than I used to look. So it's pretty cool.
Oh, I mean, that would certainly be. And I know when I say that that would, you know, make my day, it would probably make my month. But it also, I know for sure that, you know, you have many people on Anchor, and I'm sure other places, but many people on Anchor who feel very warm and friendly towards you. And the idea of being able to see you dance, wow.
That would be cool. Yeah, that would be cool. Well, we'll have to see if we can make that happen. I just need to make sure I can pass the edit on the video. If it looks good, we'll get it up there.
Well, don't let the desire for perfection prevent you.
Oh, never want to do that.
The other thing, of course, while we're on this theme, and forgive me, Avi, I had absolutely no idea what we were going to talk about when we started, but the other thing, of course, I'd love to see you do, and you'd have much more control of this, would be, I'd love to see you on the drums.
Yeah, I wish I could set my drums up again. I have them in a closet, and those drums are vintage mid-1970s. They are a set of Rogers, which the company's no longer in business, but they were a custom set of Rogers drums, mother of pearl, beautiful set of drums. And I haven't had the chance to play them in years because I'm in a location where it would just be too disturbing to my neighbors for me to bring them out. But yeah, if I ever get the opportunity, that would be awesome as well, because I'd love to play with with a band again. Those were the days. They were really the days. Phenomenal. Yeah. That was another lifetime when I did that. It's been a completely big change over the years. But, you know, when I was in my late teens, you know, early, not even my 20s, I was in my teens when I played professionally. And I haven't played since. Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
I think at time, I mean, it doesn't come for everybody, and I'm not saying this will definitely come for you or whatever, but there's always a chance that a point in life comes where it is possible to pull together, you know, if you like, all of the different passions that you've had throughout your life. So, you know, your musical side, your dancing side. I mean, I'll leave out your financial side, but maybe I would need to bring that in. But, you know, the several sides of a human being, because everybody has got several sides to them. And probably most people at any one point in time are only focused on one or two sides of themselves. But there is always the possibility of bringing the whole lot integrated into some arena.
Yeah, well, for sure. For sure. And we mostly don't have the opportunity to do that a lot of times. And we hold ourselves back by not. I think it's important, for sure. You're right. You're right. And you have so many sides to you, with your opera, with your poetry, your writing, your coaching. My goodness. Incredible. Well,
yeah, one of the things, Avi, just a little example from my history is that, you see, I originally started off in a sense as an academic, as a sociologist. And I then dropped out of academia and I became a bus conductor, and I went into operational management in London Transport, which was at the time almost a state organization. And I then went into management development. There's obviously a story behind this, but I went into management development and management consultancy. And I then, for the first time in 15 at least years, yeah, I brought back into my life everything I'd learned about while I was studying sociology and social psychology. And those things became very, very helpful to me in doing work, for example, on helping groups to develop their team working performance, in helping people to lead teams, and stuff like that, where all of the research about how groups of people work, all of the models, if you like, that were found to be helpful, all of that sociological stuff came back.
And it was meant to, because it's key and critical to your performance and capability as a management consultant. Having that social and sociological aspect to it, I think, adds a whole lot of value to your service, doesn't it?
Oh, I couldn't agree more. In fact, I find it impossible to know, for example, how I would have had the time, even simply the time to learn what I had already learned. I mean, a simple example would be, there's a wonderful book called Street Corner Society, set in Chicago by a guy called William Foote White. And the book was a piece of research he did, I forget when, either in the 30s or the 50s. And he went into a situation that people assumed had no rules, no regulations, no respect for law and order. It was a gangster type area, street corner society in Chicago. In other words, it was, at the time, the assumption was that this was a completely, anarchic place. And he went in there as a, what in jargon terms were called a participant observer. He went in there and basically lived in that area. I mean, he didn't go around shooting people or selling drugs, but he did actually go around just being in the company of people who were doing this. And he showed in his research that there were rules, there were hierarchy, there were norms, there were unacceptable behavior and acceptable behavior, and it was far from anarchic. It possessed, the society that he was in, possessed all the same traits, albeit with different values, all the same traits as, you know, suburban middle class life.
Isn't that interesting?
Now, that becomes interesting because that sort of gets you into a frame of mind that says, no matter how, let's say, awful these people appear to be, and no matter how awful their behavior, they do have a value system. They do have, they're not people without values. They have values. They have heroes. They have ambitions. They have goals and objectives. The challenge is to understand them rather than the challenge being to condemn them.
Indeed. Indeed. You know, I often say that. I said there's motivation behind the most evil person. And evil people don't necessarily believe that they are. They simply have a completely different perspective of their goals and missions than the person that they're possibly being evil against.
Well, even, I mean, Avi, when you say it that way, did you ever meet a person, and I'm sure people listening to this can answer this, you know, did you ever meet a person who believed that they were evil? Well, it's almost like a joke.
That's right. Yeah, you know? No one does. And the person that's perceived as evil thinks that the other person's evil because they think contrary to them.
And, well, of course, in a society, and I don't want to make this particularly political, but in a society where there is a considerable chasm between those who support one side and those who support the other side, you hear an awful lot of one side saying, those people are, you know, destroying our country. And the other people on the other side are saying, those people are destroying our country.
Yeah, it's a matter of perspective and understanding and belief. But, you know, the key is to be able to bring those two sides together through mutual communication and understanding. And it's not a simple task ever. It's not a simple task because people cling to their belief system very, very closely. And, you know, what I found is the only way for someone to be convinced is for them to figure it out on their own. You can't force anyone. What is it? A man convinced against his will is of the same opinion still, right?
Oh, I like that. Do you happen to know the source of that?
I'd love to know. I wish I had that source, but I know someone listening to this knows. I'll look it up. If you Google that, you'll find the source.
It's
a quote. Yeah.
No, it's just nice and I think kind of pretty easy to remember.
Yep.
Avi, we were, to the extent that we agreed anything about what we were going to talk about today, the last time we spoke together on like this, we touched on the fact that, well, I was particularly, I am, and I think you are also quite interested in the topic of marketing podcasts.
Indeed. But you know what, Paul? We're going to have to start our next one on that subject, and I want to guarantee that we will do that. But this one's already run close to 35 minutes, and if we get into that subject right now, we can go for another easily 35 minutes, which we will likely lose our audience, and I don't ever want to do that. So I promise you this. Let's come up with a day and time this coming week that we can commit, and we will continue the conversation or actually begin the conversation on that topic, marketing podcasts. I think it would be a great subject and of great interest to people. But I tell you what, we had a very nice kaleidoscope of topics today, starting off with Apple and how they were able to satisfy your needs, both on the iPhone and Mac tech support side. We got into a flavor of a little bit of dancing and a little bit of business background. We covered a lot of material today, my friend.
I couldn't agree more. And in fact, I actually, even though I referred to marketing podcast, Avi, it was, I'm totally with you in terms of, look, let's park that until our next time. Could we fix the exact time in a kind of way offline, in the sense that it would be easier for me to go to my diary and send you a direct message?
Absolutely. But let's make sure we do it sometime this coming week, because we want people to expect at least a call with Paul once a week on this station, and we'll make it happen. Okay, my friend?
That is fantastic, Avi.
Always a pleasure. I do appreciate your time and your expertise and your background and experience. It is wonderful. And maybe next time I'll even brew some coffee. Who knows?
True. I had a cold cup of tea with me all the time along it. But, you know, Avi, I found talking with you takes my total attention.
You're the best. I love it. Thank you, my friend. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk next week. Okay?
Okay. All the best. Bye-bye. Bye.